Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We'll just seek God's face together in prayer. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we gather, Lord, before Thee this day, in the name of Thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, as we come now to Thy precious and holy Word, we pray that Thou wilt bless the reading of Thy Word to our hearts. We pray especially, O God, for Thy servant, the Reverend Chris Gadden, as he preaches Thy Word, that Thou wilt bless him, O God, and that he will know that double portion of the Spirit of God, and that through the ministry of Thy precious Word, that Thy believing people would be strengthened and blessed and encouraged, O God, in their most holy faith, and that precious souls would be saved by the grace and power of God. Just draw very near now, O God, we pray, and bless us around Thy precious Word, for we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory, and giving Thee thanks. Amen. Our Bible reading for today is taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter number 6 and the verse number 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him,
and ran afoot thither out of all the cities. And out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." They said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat?" He saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 44. And we do know and pray that God will bless this public reading of God's eternal and infallible word into all our hearts. We're just going to sing now another great old missionary hymn. It says, "Blessed is the service of our Lord and King. Precious are the jewels we may help to bring. Down the passing ages words of counsel ring. He that winneth souls is wise."
Good to be here today and to have this opportunity to proclaim God's precious word. And I want to thank Reverend Porter too for leading thus far and reading God's word to us today. This portion that Reverend Porter has read to us today relays the account of what is commonly called the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. This miracle of Christ, like all the other miracles, proved that he was the Son of God and the second person of the Trinity. He took the seemingly meager 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed well in excess of 5,000 people that day. That is an amazing feat, is it not? But really, such an astonishing act should not really be that surprising if we believe that Jesus Christ is God. Such power over the physical is somewhat to be expected if one is God. And therefore, I say today that the miracle recorded for us here is not the most astonishing thing in this passage. The most astonishing part of what has already been read to us today is found, I believe, in verse 34. And if you look at that verse with me, please, here. Verse 34 says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." Jesus Christ, who is fully God, had compassion on sinful, wretched men. Oh, his ability to work a miracle out of the loaves and fish, as I say, should not be that astonishing, for Christ is God. But the fact that he who is God would have compassion on those who have sinned and continue to sin against him, that really is astonishing. There's a hymn we often sing. "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean." And it is with this wonder I look at these words in Mark 6, verse 34. Here is Christ looking on the multitude of unclean sinners, and we're told he had compassion on them. And it is this compassion I want us to consider today. See, there is a need for all of us to consider the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are unsaved, there's a great need for you to consider the compassion that Christ has shown to fallen sinners that they might be saved. And if you're saved, a child of God here today, you must consider Christ as the greatest example of what we must be. If we are Christians, it is our duty to strive to be Christ-like. We need to exhibit the characteristics of Christ, and here is one of those great characteristics of compassion. We need to show Christ-like compassion in our lives. Now, I make that those words, Christ-like compassion, the title of what I want to share with you today. If we who are saved are going to show Christ-like compassion in our lives, we must follow this example given to us here. Let us look at this portion, and as we look at it and consider Christ's compassion, and we are to be Christ-like in our compassion, there's 2 things I really want us to see. Firstly, if we are to show Christ-like compassions in our lives, there must first of all be a seeing of the need. A seeing of the need. Now, in reality, that's an obvious point. Yeah, there's a point that needs to be made. If we're ever going to show Christ-like compassion, we must first see the need. See, our text here before us gives us the example of the Lord Jesus Christ showing compassion. But we can note from this verse that before compassion was shown by the Lord Jesus Christ, this compassion occurred after the need was seen. Listen to those words again in verse 34. "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." We're told there in the opening words that Jesus came out and saw much people. Christ saw the people, and what he saw that concerning them moved him to compassion. Brothers and sisters, if we're ever to be moved with compassion on others, we must first see the need that they are in. What was the great need of the people that moved the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way? Well, this verse tells us exactly what it was he saw concerning the people. It says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them." Why? Because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. and he began to teach them many things. Christ saw the multitude of people and saw them as sheep having no shepherd. He saw that they were lost. He saw that they were without hope, without instruction, without guidance, without one to show them the way. But simply he saw them as those without a Savior. As we would look upon our nations, we ought to see the very same thing. Oh, the faces are different, but the need is the same. Men and women, have you seen this need of the people in your community? Have you seen the great need of the people in your land? Let me give you an example today. I want to share with you the example of the Republic of Ireland. Now, I use Ireland as an example because it is in Ireland I have been ministering these last 2 years. And also because Ireland is a true example of the great need that even the Lord Jesus Christ here did see in Mark 6:34. Would you be surprised if I told you today that the Republic of Ireland is the least evangelized nation in all of Europe? Would it also surprise you that if I told you that the evangelical population of the Republic of Ireland is smaller than 0.5%? Think about that figure. That means that 99.5% of the population of Ireland are a sheep without a shepherd, walking with no direction, wandering on the byways of sin, walking on a path that leads to eternal destruction in hell. Now that, in my view, I must ask myself, am I stirred to have compassion on them? Oh, I speak of Ireland, but consider other lands. Wherever you are from today, I tell you there's a similar mission field on your doorstep. Oh, that we would all open our eyes and see the need. That we would look and have a vision of the need and be moved with compassion because of it. It's only when we truly see the need that we'll ever begin to have this true Christ-like compassion. So the question that must be asked is this: have we caught even a glimpse of the need? Have we raised our heads up to look beyond ourselves to see a world that is perishing? To see countless sheep without a shepherd? If we are to live Christ-like lives and show compassion on those who are in need, we have to open our eyes and see what is right before us. Oh, until we have a vision of what is before us, we will do nothing. We cannot exhibit this Christ-like compassion until we first have a vision of the great need before us. Child of God, let us have a vision of, and a vision for, those who are perishing around us. Surely Solomon, the wisest of men, was right when he said, as he did in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Brother and sister in Christ, we need a sight of the reality of the need of those all around us. But before I move on and consider our second thought today, I want to look at this briefly from another perspective. As we consider this topic of Christ-like compassion, let me ask you, if you are unsaved, have you ever saw your need of compassion? As Christ would look upon you tonight, as the all-seeing and all-knowing God, does he see one who is a sheep without a shepherd? Have you experienced his compassion? Have you even felt your need of his compassion? Have you realized that you are a sinner, that you are without Christ, that you're alienated from him? Do you realize that without Christ you are without hope? That you are a sheep without a shepherd? Oh, Christ is the good shepherd. God's word tells us that. But is he your shepherd? So we've been looking here today at Christ's compassion. And so doing, we have noted that this Christ-like compassion is to be us as believers, our chief example. We saw the basic principle that seeing always precedes compassion. We cannot have compassion on someone if we don't first of all see the need that they are in. Christ-like compassion must go further than simply seeing the need. See, once we've saw the need, we must ask ourselves, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about the need? What are we going to do? How are we going to help those who are in such a great need? And this question leads me to my second point. See, as we look at Christ, we don't just have him seeing the need, but we also have him meeting the need. And if we are to be like Christ and show Christ-like compassion, it's not enough just to see the need and say a few words of pity. We must do something about it. See, by Christ meeting the need, we see his compassion in action. Surely that is the example for every Christian to live by today. True compassion is doing something. As I say, compassion is not just pity. Compassion is not just saying, isn't that awful? How many unsaved are? Isn't it awful that they know not Christ? Well, it's not enough just to say these things, but what are we going to do? Compassion is love in action. If we are to have compassion, we cannot just, as I say, say a few words and think somebody else might deal with that. But true Christian and Christ-like compassion means doing all that we can to meet the need. See, if we look at the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ here, we see it as something of action. Firstly, we see it in an immediate sense. Now, from this passage that has been read to us this evening, we saw Christ meet a physical need. That miracle that he worked when he fed that multitude of people. These people were hungry. The disciples wanted to send them away. And Christ showed compassion in that way. And he met the physical need. But our text shows a greater need that Christ first sought about meeting. This was the most important need of all. It wasn't their need of food, but it was a spiritual feeding. Listen to our text again. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Christ saw the need. He was moved with compassion because of that need. But as I say, it didn't end there. He sought about meeting that need. And how did he go about meeting the need? It tells us he began to teach them many things. These people were a sheep without a shepherd. The scribes and the Pharisees were their religious leaders. It was the blind leading the blind. The people, therefore, had no shepherd to teach them. And therefore, Christ, as the good shepherd and the greatest of teachers, with great compassion, began to speak to them and began to teach them. If we saw the need of the lost, if we have, what are we going to do about it? If we see the countless souls walking blindly into a lost eternity, what are we going to do? Are we going to have compassion on them? Well, if we follow the example of Christ, what must we do? We must open our mouths. And we must speak. We must tell them those things that they know not of. We must tell them of the Lord Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. Well, that may be outside our comfort zone. But true compassion would have us stop thinking about ourselves and what's comfortable and doing what is necessary. Oh, if we're truly moved with compassion, we will be moved to do something about it. And what is the message? What is the truth that we must bring? Well, it is this message of Christ, the message of the compassion of Christ. This is the message that the world needs to hear. You see, not only was Christ compassionate here in this immediate sense, but we must never forget the compassion of Christ in the eternal sense. The eternal sense of Christ's compassion. There never has been and there never will be a greater demonstration of the compassion of Christ than the compassion he showed upon the cross of Calvary. This truth is wonderfully expressed by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, those verses 6 to 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the message of compassion we who are saved must bring to the world. That Christ came into this world to die for our sins, to die for sinners. And if you're unsaved hearing this message, that's the very message you must receive. That Christ died to save a people from their sin. Oh, he didn't just look with pity upon them, but he came into this world, left the splendor of glory, and died upon the cross. Christ looked upon us and had compassion. Child of God, you've received such compassion. Surely we'd want others to know. Oh, tell them of Christ, the mighty, the Savior. Oh, let us have Christ-like compassion. Follow the example of Christ in this verse, which says in Jesus, when he came out, so much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. May the Lord take his word, and may he bless it to each and every heart. Let us please close in a word of prayer. Our Father and our eternal God in heaven, we thank thee for our Savior. We thank thee for the compassion that was shown upon the cross. O Lord, even as Christ did hang upon the cross, you could say, Father, forgive them. O Lord, we have a Savior who loves us and is compassionate towards us. May each one who hears this word know of the compassion of Christ. And Lord, may we go into this world and share the message of Christ, the mighty to save. O Lord, hear us now. For Christ's sake, amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.